Hare Krishna. So tomorrow is the most wonderful day. Is that okay? Yeah. You put the water on the floor here. Tomorrow is the most wonderful day of Janmashtami. And this is the last in our series of lead-up classes, as we call them. 4 or 5 days of leading up to the one day of the year when it seems the whole world and his mother and father and brother and sister become Krishna conscious and come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Isn't that wonderful? If the whole world could be like that on the other 364 days. We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's what we do, Krishna consciousness. It's what we try to do. It's what we say we are created for. And those of us sitting here today, and those of us listening at home, and those of us listening in our car to this class, we have dedicated our mornings to the pursuit of Krishna consciousness. There are two main books in India. One is the Bhagavad Gita, and one is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Madhya Pradesh, the 11th canto is known as the Bible of the state of Madhya Pradesh, especially with the commentaries by Gyanadev, because Krishna speaks to Arjuna, of course, we know that 700 verses make up the Bhagavad Gita. When we turn to the Uddhava Gita, when Krishna speaks to Uddhava, there are 1,200 verses. So in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna explains many things in a little more detail, but he also comes to what we now know as Chapter 20, and this is the last verse of chapter 20. And it's sort of the Sarva Dharma Pratyaja, because he's spoken a lot of things to Uddhava, and now he's beginning to finish up the teachings. Okay. And the translation. Persons who seriously follow these methods of achieving me, which I have personally taught, attain freedom from illusion, and upon reaching my personal abode, they perfectly understand the absolute truth. There's no purport. Well, there is a purport, but it's a concluding statement by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada who translated these. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 20th chapter. Entitled, Pure Devotional Service Surpasses Knowledge and Detachment. Well, the subject that I was given to speak on is entering the spiritual world, or entering Krishna's abode. Is that it? I hope I got the right one. Okay. Because that's what I've prepared. We should be heartened by these words from Krishna, because Krishna hasn't changed his opinion. It's 36 years later, 36 years after Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Prajaja, surrender to me, I'll protect you, you'll come to me, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, settle down, just fight. This is Krishna. 36 years later, Krishna's speaking to Uddhava, but he hasn't changed his opinion. Now, who of us does not change an opinion or two in 36 years? Most of us, we change our opinion quite often, don't we? We like this. 36 years later, we don't like that at all. 36 years ago, I used to wear these clothes. 36 years later, I wouldn't be seen dead in those clothes. Krishna is the master of the universe. That's and not just master of this universe, but master of all universes. He's eternal. Before the universe existed, there was Krishna. After the universe is destroyed, there will be Krishna. So Krishna is of that place, which is Param, the highest, Paramam Brahman. His opinion does not change. His opinion cuts through all the changing opinions. By nature, our opinions change all the time because of the swirl of the modes of material nature. By his nature, completely free from the modes of material nature, Krishna's opinion never changes. There's nothing to change it to. He is Atmarama, he's completely happy. Our opinion changes because we want happiness. And happiness in the material world comes and it goes. So when we get happiness, that's our opinion. When happiness fades, we change our opinion. And this movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, is in the business of trying to help people to change their opinion towards Krishna's opinion. We don't have an opinion of ourselves. We are servants of Krishna's opinion. So I thought I would begin with this verse. The other verse that Krishna says, that if you follow the things that I've taught, Krishna says in this verse, if you follow the things that I've taught, you'll enter my abode. So since I was very young, I was always attracted to the idea of doorways to another realm. You ever read stories like that? He entered a door, he entered a secret garden, or he entered the doorway to. I was captivated by the idea of walking through a wardrobe and getting to Nadia would have been nice, but Narnia. Or I was captivated by the idea of the H.G. Wells time machine, or Doctor Who, you know, you could just open the door of a telephone box and be in another realm, another space-time dimension. So the devotees first told me about Srila Prabhupada. I was attracted also when someone told me there was a platform 9 3/4 at Euston Station. I checked the other day. There is nothing. Nothing there. My opinion has changed now. But they told me that when you get to see Prabhupada, he said, the devotee told me, he said, you'll see that he's in the spiritual abode. He's actually there. The place that we're trying to get to, he's actually there. And he's speaking from there, using a human body to speak to us. And I thought, my 17-year-old mind went, wow. So I was always checking Prabhupada out. You know, okay, he's in the spiritual world, but he's speaking to us from that seat over there. And I was sort of looking at, what does it mean? How is he in the spiritual world at the same time as being here in the English village of Lechmore Heath? So we used to listen to him very intently, because he said there's everything that he says is coming from the eternal realm. So when I came to the manor, I was very interested in this idea that there was a mystical incantation which could open up the door to this higher abode of Krishna. I thought, this is very good. This tapped into some of the stories I'd heard when I was younger. You know, the Alibaba, open the door, open sesame. Or in the original Arabic, oh, Simsim. I'm a mindful of trivia. So then the other magical word which will do anything for you is, what is the word that the magicians use? Abracadabra. Which in ancient Hebrew means, I create this. Abracadabra, I create this. And in ancient Aramaic, it comes out as Avada Kedavra, let anything inauspicious be destroyed. It's kind of a good word. But when I came to the devotees, they started telling me stories from the Indian tradition. And the devotees would tell me of their actual experiences. One devotee told me that he was in Calcutta and he saw a yogi. And the yogi was manifesting. It had to be Calcutta, didn't it? Bengali story. And the yogi started out with empty hands and he was muttering these mystical incantations. And he would open his hands and there would be a grape or something. And the devotee said, why don't you get something useful? He said, like what? He said, well, why don't you get a Mongol Archie sweet so I can offer it to Krishna? And he said, all right. So then he did his mystical incantation, and there was a pera in his hands. The devotee said, wait a second, you could have just had that up your sleeve. And the yogi said, what sleeves? He had no sleeves. So everybody, it's a big crowd gathered around, and everybody was very interested in the interaction between this American and this yogi. So then the devotee took out his fountain pen that he used for signing up life members, and he put a big X on the bottom of the Mangalarti suite, which had yet to be offered, so technically speaking wasn't a Mangalarti suite. And the yogi said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "No, I want you to put it back. If you can put this back, then I can find it after you put it back. Where did you get it from?" He said, "Well, through the use of Prapti Siddhi, I went to Govinda Mohan Singh Sweet Mart, and I got the sweet there." "Did anybody see you?" He said, "No, I was standing here, but I was there at the same time." He said, "Okay, the X marks the sweet." So then, I don't know the mantra, something like, he said, "Gone." So then the devotee went to Mohan Singh's sweet mart, and he said, "I am Pujari from ISKCON, Calcutta." And the sweet man said, "Oh, very nice, very nice." He said, "I want some sweets for Krishna, but it has to be the best pera that you have." So he went through each of the pera on the stands, and there it was. He picked one up, and there was the X on the bottom of the sweet. So when I heard this, immediately I thought, yes, that's it. Krishna consciousness is real. I was very impressed by a little bit of magic. Another story. Are you impressed? Maybe not. So another devotee told me, he said, "I was in Mayapur, and someone had been stealing the bricks. We were building what we used to call in those days the long building. Now it's called the what building? Chakra building, yeah. So they were building that in 1976, and someone had been stealing the bricks. In India, you've got to always work out, you know, who's been stealing. So another mystical incantation, they called in the man who could find thieves by mystical incantations. You can find people like that in the yellow pages in Mayapur. The mystical incantation man. And they got two bamboo sticks, and they put them together in an X. They tied them in the middle. "Don't worry, Deepak, we're getting to Krishna consciousness eventually." So we went like this. This is for all you folks at home. I am holding my hand in the figure of an X. So he went and he lined up all the builders, and they, as he was chanting, he put the X on their neck like this. And he went down there and he came to number 14, and the bamboo just went like that around the man's neck. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." So immediately they knew that they had found the thief, and he had to return all the bricks. But interesting story. So the third one I'm going to tell you, just before you get bored, is of a snake bite. A devotee was bitten by a cobra and went into a coma, a cobra coma. And again, they looked in the yellow pages, called the mystical incantation man who does mantras for snake bite. Hello? Is that the snake bite man? This is real. So they called the snake bite man again, incantations this time over objects, little kauri shells, 7 kauri shells on a brass plate. So he's doing all the mantras, threw the shells away and slapped the devotee on the back with a big brass plate. Immediately, from the point at which he'd been bitten, this black ooze started to gush out. And it was blood mixed with the poison, and it all started coming out. Now, why am I telling you these things? I'm telling this is because I know I've got your interest and no one's sleeping. But the other thing is that Prabhupada told the killer story. Would you like to hear Prabhupada's story? This is a story that Prabhupada told, just so you know that I'm not just fudging my class this morning. Prabhupada had in India there's gurus for everything, and particularly there's gurus for music. So Prabhupada had a mridanga guru, and Prabhupada's mridanga guru taught Prabhupada mridanga, but he told them a story about his guru. He said, "My guru not only taught the mridanga, but he was also a yogi, and he had Prapti Siddhi." No, excuse me. Prabhupada's guru's guru was a student of this man who had Prapti Siddhi. Prapti is one of the eight mystical abilities to be able to acquire something from somewhere else. When I first went to India, they told me, be very careful, because some fallen yogis, they hang around in banks when you go to change your money. And if they see how much money you've received, they can take it from your pocket without you knowing. Anyway. So this is Prabhupada's story. So he said, my guru's guru, he was sitting, and his guru asked him, he said, what would you like after the lesson? You've been so good during the lesson. What would you like? He said, I would like some fresh pomegranate from Kabul. Now, this was in Calcutta. He said, where are we going to get some fresh pomegranates from Kabul? So the guru went into trance. And then when he opened his eyes, he told the boy, he said, go into the next room. And when he went into the next room, he saw not only a pomegranate, but a branch of a pomegranate tree, which was still dripping sap with about six pomegranates on it. So he told his guru, his disciple, and his disciple told Prabhupada. So Prabhupada told that story. He said, but it is a mystical ability to bring something from one place to another. He said, but it will not help you become Krishna conscious. But it's interesting because it opens up a doorway of understanding in our mind that can lead to greater things. Without those doorways, folks, Krishna consciousness may be something so far away. We need a little bit of magic and mystery, I think, to be able to open up the realm of our purely mundane material understanding, which is locked tight in this body and physical law. In order to understand that there's a Krishna's abode that we may enter, you first have to understand that what you see is not reality complete. What you see is only a very small portion of reality that material nature is allowing you to comprehend. Then there's all those parts of reality that we cannot see. So, that's the pomegranate story. So our mantra, of course, that does everything for us is the Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra takes us from the beginning all the way to the end. A lot of people, how many people use Facebook still? I know it's a middle-aged person's preserve. Go on, admit it, you still use Facebook, okay? Well, in Facebook, a very common thing is that you see people change their status, don't they, to in a relationship. See that? In a relationship. Philosophically speaking, we are in a I'm right now, I could change my status on Facebook. I'm in a relationship. You know who I'm in a relationship with? This microphone. We're having a relationship right now. I'm having a relationship with a chair. I'm having a relationship with this floor. Having a relationship with actually everything in the universe. You're in a relationship with everything that exists. It just so happens that the one thing that you think that you'll gain happiness from is that relationship, from that one person in whom you've now placed all your desires. But we are in a relationship with everything. And one thing that we learn in Krishna consciousness, the very first thing we learn, is that what is the state of my relationships with matter, with God, with the modes, with time, with space, with the past, with the future? What's my relationship with these things? Because these things are they're less ephemeral than your relationship status. So this is called tattva-traya. Tattva-traya, the three truths. What is your relationship as a conscious observer with the universe? What is the relationship of that universe with God, who is the ultimate observer, and what is your relationship with both of those? And each school of philosophy purports to explain your state of relationship with those entities, those metaphysical entities. So Krishna consciousness is the art and science of developing our relationship with the ultimate of all these, which is Krishna, which is the source of everything. Now, I have noticed over my 40 plus years of being in a relationship with Krishna, or trying to, We're working on it. We have some issues to work through, me and Krishna. And I come to Krishna regularly and say, it's not you, it's me. But I'm working on that relationship. But it seems that I have noticed different stages that people go through, particularly in our Western world, where there's no tradition of Krishna consciousness, there's no tradition of... We're in danger of losing everything at the moment, actually. That's the biggest conspiracy theory. The biggest conspiracy theory is not whether it's not chemtrails. It's not whether the earth is flat. The biggest conspiracy theory is not whether there's holes through the world or whether there are, Illuminati that are controlling us or whether the queen is actually a lizard. The biggest conspiracy theory, the biggest conspiracy that is actually true is that in Kali Yuga, people will invent many different ways of forgetting the existence of God completely. That's the danger. That's the conspiracy that we're in the middle of right now. And it is rampant. It's going on everywhere. And it's a tidal wave. Who's ever seen a tidal wave? You ever seen a tidal wave? You've seen it? Like the Boxing Day tidal wave in Sri Lanka. No one could have stood there with their hands up and held back this tidal wave. It's incredible. Incredible. The wave of anti-godness that's in the world. First they started with anti-Christianity. And for some of us we might think, well, that was good because Christians, blah, blah, blah. But next is you. When they've got rid of the Christians in all the different countries of the world and replaced it with totalitarian regimes based on pseudoscience, next will be the Hare Krishnas. They'd love to get us. We're just so small at the moment, no one bothers us. And we say, oh yeah, those people, happy clappy. The foolish fellows that dress in the brightest color known to God and sing and dance their way banging a tambourine down the street. They're either on drugs, they're mad, or they're so small that we can't worry about them. In Poland, it was the other way. The government got really worried. In countries where they really have to keep in control of the people, then they get worried about the devotees. There was 5 devotees in Poland, but they distributed books everywhere. And they distributed so many books, the government became concerned because they started seeing this, religious literature, anti-communist. Religion is anti-communism, of course, so the anti-communist literature distributed everywhere. They didn't know where it was coming from. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of books. And so they got really worried. And eventually they arrested the devotees, of which there are only 5 in Poland. And they said, how many people are in this country? How many of you distributing these books? And the devotee said, maybe 50. And the person said, only 50? Because there was 5 people. Only 50? How can 50 people distribute so many books? He said, you're everywhere. We see you everywhere. Anyway, how do we get on to that? So the first step in coming to Krishna consciousness, and this is found in no book. I thought about it yesterday. Therefore, it must be Deepak. I'm an ISKCON guru, therefore it must be true, right? So it's me and Deepak go back a long way. So the first step I have seen in people is to first acknowledge that there is something beyond this world. It's kind of the first step. And that beyond may be the source of everything. You can call it God if you like, but it's a sort of all-pervading God. Second step is that there's a transcendental world. There's a world of non-matter. There's a spiritual realm that is bigger than this realm. The third step I find people take is to overcome their inherent objections to Krishna. When I first came to this building, I liked the saffron, the shaved heads, the food, the singing, the dancing, the kirtan, the guru figure. I liked the ancient books, the Sanskrit chanting. I liked everything. But I used to look at Krishna and I think, do we really need Krishna? I'll take the rest of it, But why do we need Krishna to make all of this work? I like reincarnation, meditation, I love japa. I like getting up early in the morning. I like the idea of the mode of goodness. I like the funky way the devotees talked, which is sort of half American and half Sanskrit. Another way the devotees talk, far out, man. Let's go to Mangalati. You're English. First of all, why are you speaking Americanisms? Secondly, why are you speaking in Sanskritisms? Why don't you just say, let's go to the morning service? Or let's go to the morning meditation period. And why are you saying far out? We're not hippies. Far out. What does that mean anyway? So you have to overcome objections to Krishna. And the fourth step that I and many others took is to understand that Krishna has his own personality and that it's not an anthropomorphic projection. It's not because it's from India that people in India have projected that Krishna or God must look like this. That was my thinking. Krishna has a dhoti and a turban because that's what people in India thought God must look like at that time. We, instead of making an anthropomorphic projection, we must think theomorphism. Theomorphism means that God is like this and therefore we are like this because God is like that. It's a switcheroo that has to happen in the brain. Fifth thing is to accept the possibility. Are we okay with this? Going through a made-up list. Fifth thing is to accept the possibility that there's a relationship between this soul and the Supreme Soul. And then I can enter into that relationship. And then the sixth is to make a choice in your life to specifically cultivate that relationship by remembrance of Krishna, which is Krishna consciousness, brought about by acts of service. One time, you know that when we offer birthday candles to Krishna, it's meant to be ghee lamps actually in the temple, but we offer children's birthday candles. It's a long tradition that started before we knew that there was a thing called ghee. So every year we offer these birthday candles to Krishna. And everybody from India goes, oh, very nice. So one time they were offering the candles to Krishna during the month of Kartik, and they asked Prabhupada, they said, why are we offering candles to Krishna? Prabhupada, simply to increase your love. Just to increase your love, that's all. One time a devotee tried to get Prabhupada to say that book distribution was the highest possible thing that any human being could do, which is what book distributors had to hear from Prabhupada in order to carry on doing it because it was so difficult. So he sort of asked the question in such a way, he told me the story, he asked the question in such a way, he said, Prabhupada, what is the highest service, what is the highest service that will please you the most? And Prabhupada said, simply, somehow, in this human form of life, try to develop your love for Radha and Krishna. Devotee's face went down. He was trying to, and Prabhupada was probably thinking, you're trying to manipulate your guru. I know what's going on. So the seventh, and this is the important thing I want to tell you, and this is because we make a lot of devotees, a lot of people come, because Krishna consciousness is wonderful. But have you ever noticed, me and Yadubar are sitting here, we're both Prabhupada disciples and Guru Charanapadma, we look around the room, and everybody's different. Even since the last time Yadubar was here, everybody's changed. Did you know we changed the entire ashram just before you came? And if you look at the Vyasa Puja offering books of yesteryear, you find that all the names have now gone. So this phenomenon we call the ISKCON revolving door. We make a lot of devotees, but we lose a lot of devotees as well. Deepak, you're disproving the statistics. So why do we lose so many devotees? And I think it's because of the difficult seventh step. What is our seventh step? To hold on to the relationship to hold on to your personal individual relationship with Krishna, despite temptations to reduce it, avoid it, enjoy it prematurely, or to even deny it. A devotee came to me one time and he said, Kripa Moya, I don't think I've ever been a devotee. You heard that one before? I don't think I've ever been a devotee. I said, of course you were leading kirtan, you've won several marathons, you've given great classes, you've been a manager in ISKCON. I mean, if you're a manager in ISKCON, you've really climbed the tree of devotional life. You can't even get higher than that. So I said, how are you thinking that? He said, because I'm just looking back at all those experiences of my early Krishna consciousness, and I just think it was just something that I was going through, a state that I was in, an emotional neediness that I had that sent me in that direction. And the devotees were so nice to me that I joined. But Krishna consciousness gave me a space to, to explore the other side of life. But I think I've come out the other side now, and I don't feel that I want to be a devotee anymore. How many people think like that? It's when the mind dominates the spiritual experience. Okay? It's like in martial arts. Okay, Adam? When anger dominates your inner peace, you can't think straight. You don't know whether to punch or kick because you're just dominated by anger. And anger is an expression of an emotion. And to really be a fighter, Jai Krishna. To really be a fighter, you can't allow anger to dominate you. Back me up, can you? You can't be in that place where there's anger. You have to be in that inner peace. That's why meditation and good fighting go together. As we told Frank Bruno one time. So many, many people fall at this point. And it's interesting that the early Christians, they also talked about this. They had something called the eight deadly thoughts, the eight deadly thoughts for a spiritual practitioner. And they go through the usual ones like lust, anger, and greed. Do we agree with Christianity on this point? Lust, anger, and greed. Envy, madness, illusion. Yeah, we do. But then they came up with number 7 or number 8 in their list? It was sadness, spiritual sadness, spiritual depression, in which you become overcome, thinking that you will never reach God, thinking that God has turned his back on you, thinking that the relationship that you started to have with God has turned into something else, and God no longer cares for you. And it's something that comes to everyone. So we agree with that. And then later on they dropped that, and they just kept 7 of them. So they dropped out acedia, or sadness, and it just became the 7 deadly sins, because the Pope in the 6th century said, it's all very well having 8 deadly thoughts, but we need to turn them into 7. We need to turn them into deadly sins, so people have got to know in a concrete way what to do. It's just like Prabhupada did for us, really, in one way. The 4 regulated principles are cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truth. And Prabhupada turned them into specific concrete actions that you should not take. No meat eating, no lustings, no gap, no intoxication. Because it makes it very concrete. No, 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 no. Instead of cleanliness. Well, it could mean anything. It could be interpreted in any way. Anyway. So what is this sadness is a form of self-pity. Do you ever wallow in your own self-pity? I'm not a devotee. I'm never a devotee. I've never been a devotee. I never will be a devotee. Put your hand up if you've ever been at that. There's a little hands coming. Okay, well, those of you who don't have your hand up, you wait. You wait. It means discouragement. Okay, I'll skip those. So, a preacher, a teacher, a guru, a shiksha guru, a varma pradarshika guru, a patha pradipaka guru, a mentor, whatever you want to call them, they're the ones who simultaneously do 2 things. They encourage you to move on, move up, move forward. But also at the same time, they curb your pride by saying, you're not there yet. They sort of have to. It's very interesting. Every Monday night, I read Krishna book to a small group of devotees, about 30 devotees. We've been reading Krishna book for years, like 5 years. And, you know, it's wonderful just to read Krishna book together. Try it. If you don't do it. Prabhupada said, householders are meant to read Krishna book and hot milk. I never met a couple that did it yet. It used to be the thing to do. So in this, we're studying Rukmini Haran, the kidnapping of Rukmini. And Balaram comes because, as we heard the other day from Jai Krishna Prabhu, that Balaram comes to assist Krishna in his pastimes by protecting him and by assisting him in different ways. And Balaram came with his army to protect Krishna when he discovered that Krishna had left the night before without him. So Balaram comes to catch up, joins the battle. Krishna's kidnapped Rukmini. Rukmini's brother comes chasing after, whose name is Rukmi. And, of course, Krishna is going to, you know, get rid of Rukmi. But Rukmini asks him, no, please spare my brother. And then Balaram does a very strange thing. Balaram, who's Adi Guru, or the original guru, the original preacher, he says one thing to Rukmini, and he says completely another one to Krishna. To Rukmini, he says, you know, you should know that Rukmi has done a very bad thing. This is, you know, we are Kshatriyas, our code is that we do fight, and sometimes we harm each other, sometimes we kill each other. So for Krishna to kill your brother in battle, there's nothing wrong. No harm is there. And then immediately Balaram goes to Krishna and he said, Krishna, well, how can you possibly harm Rukmi? How can you possibly harm him? If you think that by kidnapping Rukmini, you are now her husband, that makes her brother your brother-in-law. And how can you harm your brother-in-law? So he's preaching on the same chariot. He's preaching because an expert preacher preaches by giving the relevant information that each person will be lifted up in their understanding and the situation will be saved. So for Krishna, the situation was saved by not harming Rukmi, except snipping off his mustache and half his beard and half his hair and saying, get lost. Go on, get lost. And for Rukmini, the situation was saved. But she also had to understand Kshatriya codes. So this is the thing. An expert preacher may say to one devotee, you know, the spiritual world is yours for the taking. It's very, very close. There is only a thin veil of Maya, just like a thin lace curtain separating you from the spiritual world. Now go, just be very dedicated in your life, and you will reach that in this very lifetime. And to another person, to another devotee, the preacher may say, there is no chance of someone like you ever reaching the abode of Krishna in this life. You are so fallen. Now give up your pride, give up your melancholy, give up your self-pity, and be a devotee. So you see, one is reducing the pride, one is giving the person a little self-respect, a little self-pride. But the expertise of a preacher is to know what to do. Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan, and he was surrounded by his sannyasi disciples, and he was speaking to them. So renunciation, Vrindavan is for renunciation. You should understand that nothing in this material world can give you happiness. This is why you have taken sannyas. You understand? There is no pleasure here in this world. So they were very soberly nodding before Prabhupada. And then one devotee remembered that there was a devotee who wanted to ask Prabhupada if he could get married in Vrindavan. I think he was the temple president that came to, wanted to get married. So the sannyasi who had just heard Prabhupada, he came and he was thinking in his mind, oh, you're going to get it. Prabhupada is in such a mood of renunciation right now. You're going to get it. This should be fun. And he was imagining that Prabhupada was saying, so, you want to get married? to a woman here in Vrindavan, the place where the Rasa Leela is performed, where Krishna is the only enjoyer. You want to get married here, you? You're interested in sense gratification? So this devotee was imagining what Prabhupada was saying. He went and got the devotee. Devotee sat in front of Prabhupada, surrounded by sannyasis. Prabhupada said, yes. Well, Prabhupada, I was thinking I would like to get married. Prabhupada looked at him and said, oh, that's a very good idea. But Prabhupada, I've been told I shouldn't stay in Vrindavan if I get married. He said, Prabhupada said, who said that? He said, no, married man, very good in Vrindavan. And you can do business also. The sannyasis are all unhappy. They thought, he said this, but he said this. So the preacher, and everybody should have, if you want to have a relationship with Krishna, you should have a relationship with a preacher in your life who will tell you with expertise exactly what you need to know today. Next week may be something else. Last week may have been something else. But what do you need to know today to move forward in your spiritual life? Okay. Therefore, it is said that a good preacher has to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. A person who is sad, who is grieving, who just can't cope with the material world, is afflicted in many ways by adibhautik, adidaivik, and adiatmic klesha. And the preacher comes and comforts them. Don't worry. Your life will be all right. It'll get better. It's just the nature of the material world. Don't worry. A person who's comfortable in the material world, the preacher comes and afflicts them and says, give up your attachment to this world. It will never make you happy. So a preacher does both things because people need both things at different times. So Prabhupada said, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, he says that material nature gives us an opportunity for going to the spiritual world, to entering the kingdom of Krishna, to entering Krishna's abode. This life is an opportunity to prepare ourselves to go to that destination. That's all it is. You ever been in the first class waiting room in Calcutta? Calcutta train station? Howrah train station. In the first class waiting room. You know what makes it first class? The rats are bigger. I've never seen a rat as big as a cat. This is the waiting room in Howrah train station in Calcutta. First class. God knows what the second class waiting room is. The Prabhupada said, this whole world, your whole life is a waiting room. We're waiting. We're actively waiting, though. We're actively recreating our dormant relationship with Krishna that we have so forgotten. But we're waiting. We're in a waiting room. Don't get serious about it. Prabhupada said, a man is going to the toilet. Oh, he didn't. He probably said, a man is going to the latrine. So he's going to the toilet to do his business. Does he think, oh, I should change the wallpaper in here? I should make this very, very comfortable. No! He does his business and get out. He said, so all of you, do your business in this world and get out. Get out. There's nothing more here for you. Go to the spiritual world. That's the first thing. First thing about going to the spiritual world and entering Krishna's abode is that you should want to. If you don't want to, then that's the first problem, isn't it? Why don't you want to go there? Then the remainder of your life you'll be working on those reasons. So then Prabhupada says, your spiritual body manifests, he says, he quotes the Madhyani Nayana Shruti, Sava esha brahmanishta idam shariram marutyamatisrija brahmabhisa padaya Brahmana Pashiti Brahmana Srinoti Brahmana Vedam Sarvam Anubhavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. Well, how wonderful is that? Krishna gives many different ways, well, three different ways, both in Bhagavad Gita and also in the 20th chapter of the 11th canto of the Uddhava Gita. Krishna gives these, and Uddhava is kind of confused because, like Arjuna, you know, Krishna says the world was created along with demigods, you know, worship them, give them their portion. And then later on, Krishna says, don't worship the demigods. The Vedas say, worship the demigods, do your duty, follow Varnashram. And then later on, the Upanishads say, only a fool worships the demigods. So similarly, Krishna gives different ways, karma yoga, then there's bhakti yoga, there's karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti. So Uddhava is a little confused. So in chapter 20, Krishna resolves that by saying, well, it was like this. So in the Bhagavatam, we also find that in the story of Maharaj Prithu, Maharaj Prithu was a perfect yogi as well. And Prabhupada gets into the detail about the, you know, when you go to a yoga studio for preaching, you see these charts, and it's got this chakra, that chakra, this chakra, this chakra, this chakra, and then finally the, you know, the chakra. So Prabhupada gets into detail. It's actually from a Shiva tantra scripture. But Prabhupada describes it, and then he gets to the end of it, and he says, but Maharaj Prithu could have gone back to Godhead with this process. But then he resolves it by saying, but he used the perfection of that process to go back to Godhead with bhakti. So that's one thing. I'm getting to the end. Prabhupada gets into great detail here. If you want these notes, I can send to you. So we hear in the, which canto is it? Oh gosh, 9th canto? Story of Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. That Durvasa Muni was able to go to Vaikuntha using the yoga process. When he was running away from the Sudarshan Chakra, he went to Vaikuntha. The four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha even with the process that they had. But they could only perfect the process by smelling the saffron particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Then they perfected the relationship with the Lord. Durvasa Muni could only perfect his relationship with the Lord through a devotee of the Lord and asking forgiveness. So it seems that the very last stage of going back to the spiritual world is this relationship with the Acharya. So in this way, Prabhupada talks about Acharya Upasanam as the next element of going back to the spiritual world. He says, do not doubt, Krishna has invited you to join him in the spiritual world. What a wonderful thing for us to hear. Krishna has personally invited you. It's not just these other people that are called pure devotees in the pages of scripture. It's not just these other people called gurus and mahants and swamis and yogis that have a personal relationship with Krishna. You, me, each of us, someone who's just walked into this temple, has been sent here by Krishna to revive the relationship with Krishna. You cannot be sitting in a Krishna temple here in the morning without Krishna's personal invitation for you to be here. And if you've been personally invited by Krishna to come to his temple, it means that Krishna is interested in his relationship with you and your relationship with him. What a wonderful thing that I have a personal relationship with Krishna, that Krishna is invested in. Krishna is invested in that relationship and will help me, as Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 steps towards you. So Krishna is personally investing his time and his energy to bring you back to him, which is a wonderful thought. Not just a mechanical thing, but as a personal invitation. If you go to Krishna in the spiritual kingdom, Prabhupada says, in Los Angeles in 1968, he says, your individuality will be there, but you will have that spiritual body. There is no perplexities. Just like your body is different from the body of the aquatics. The aquatics, they have no disturbance in the water because their body is made like that. Similarly, because you are spirit soul, you cannot live peacefully in this material world. This is foreign. But as soon as you enter into the spiritual world, your life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. But he said it is not so easy, therefore he talks about pleasing Krishna. And then we go on to, in this age of Kali, it is very difficult to adopt the yogic process unless one is very expert. The best course is to follow the means of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This chanting penetrates the universe, Prabhupada says. So it is not just me and my japa. It is you in the holy name of Krishna, which is the lifeline that has been sent by Krishna to you. Just indulge me for 30 more seconds. And listen to this one from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is what happens when you've been chanting Hare Krishna for some time. When you've been chanting for some time. Prabhupada says, the devotee increasingly feels the absence of Krishna. For without him, one cannot drink the nectar of his beauty. When the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute is heard, that means as a practitioner. Prabhupada said one day, you will hear the sound of Krishna's flute when you are chanting his names. He said that. He said, and then you will turn around and you will see him face to face. This is how it happens. He said, when the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute is heard, the devotee's anxiety to continue to hear that flute enables him to penetrate the covering of the material world and enter into the spiritual sky, where the transcendental sound of the flute enters into the ears of the followers of the gopis. Okay. Then Prabhupada, in London, he says, you have to go through the doorkeeper. He says, to get to Krishna, you have to go through the guru, who is the doorkeeper. Then finally, he says, follow the regulative principles, etc., etc. But he says, finally, I'm always happy to hear of increasing book sales. We come to this point. He said, these reports are very encouraging to me. Our real business is to print and distribute books. By doing this business, you're all becoming recognized by Krishna. So then he goes with it. He says, by doing all these things, following the rules, chanting 16 rounds and studying my books, you'll finish your business in this material world, in this life, and enter into the spiritual world to live with Krishna eternally. Don't become discouraged by so-called problems. Make your program simple. That is to say, always make sure that you are somehow or other engaged in Krishna's service, and the best service is preaching. I had to say that tonight. He goes, this class is good. He says, or engaging others in Krishna's service. So continue in this way and be happy. Hare Krishna. You got 2 more minutes to read from the Brahma Samhita? Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. It's my job. Yeah, we haven't finished yet. Okay. This is a meditation, so if you close your eyes, we have a meditation. Okay. Sriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo druma bhumishchintamanigana maitoyamamritam Kataganam natyam gamanam api vamshi priyasaki Chiranandam jyoti paramapita dashradham apicha Sayatra shirabdi sravati surabibhyascha sumahan Nime shardakyo vavrajati nahi yatrapi samaya I worship that transcendental seat known as Svetadvip, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. And it goes on. And a rendition by an old friend of mine. There the primal being plays his love sports with goddesses who are his dear consorts, where shady wish-fulfilling trees abound, where thought gems form the structure of the ground, where the water is ambrosia sweet, all speech a song, and walking upon feet becomes a dancing pace where'er they wend, and there the flute is the beloved friend. There is the light of supreme conscious bliss, who relishes fun joy and relished is, where the milk flows in abundance from the kine, nor is there a moment's passage of time. I thus adore that sacred island of white, where herds of kine abound, Goloka height, which is restricted from the mundane view, known only in this world by very few. Now when mighty Vishnu this prayer had heard, he with the great progenitor conferred and said, O Brahma, if you should incline, endued with glory and wisdom divine, to manifest the world and procreate, a fair increase the world to populate, then hear the method whereby you must strive, from me the science in these verses 5. When pure wisdom has awakened within, the soul by practice of the discipline of devout worship piously maintained, then transcendental bliss will be obtained. Supreme devotion is then realized. Pure love of God is thus characterized. By recourse to valid testimony and devout conduct practiced constantly, the self within the self is then perceived, whereon supreme devotion is achieved. There is no more auspicious path than this, whereby is accomplished the highest bliss, and who would strive thus assiduously should direct their pious worship to me. Abandoning all other righteous ways, adore thou me exclusively always. For whatever faith each may entertain, perfection in conformity attain. As people act according to the laws of action for some particular cause, those who act in contemplation on me attain supreme devotion's ecstasy. I am he who the universe begot, the seed of all that move and moveth not. As primordial nature I prevail, and verily I am the supreme male. By power devolved, invested in you, O Vidhi and devotees, now create the world anew. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, the unlocker of the door to the spiritual world ki jai. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.